Chapter 71. She was not quite what they would call refined. She was not quite what they would call unrefined. She was the kind of person that keeps a parrot. Pudd'nhead Wilson's New Calendar. So far as I am able to judge, nothing has been left undone, either by man or nature, to make India the most extraordinary country that the sun visits on his round. Nothing seems to have been forgotten, nothing overlooked. Always, when you think you have come to the end of her tremendous specialties, and have finished banging tags upon her as the land of the thug, the land of the plague, the land of famine, the land of giant illusions, the land of stupendous mountains, and so forth, another specialty crops up and another tag is required. I have been overlooking the fact that India is by an unapproachable supremacy the land of murderous wild creatures. Perhaps it will be simplest to throw away the tax and generalize her with one all-comprehensive name, as the land of wonders. For many years the British Indian government has been trying to destroy the murderous wild creatures, and has spent a great deal of money in the effort. The annual official returns show that the undertaking is a difficult one. These returns exhibit a curious annual uniformity in results, the sort of uniformity which you find in the annual output of suicides in the world's capitals, and the proportions of deaths by this, that, and the other disease. You can always come close to foretelling how many suicides will occur in Paris, London, and New York next year, and also how many deaths will result from cancer, consumption, dog bite, falling out of the window, getting run over by cabs, etc., if you know the statistics of those matters for the present year. In the same way, with one year's Indian statistics before you, you can guess closely at how many people were killed in that empire by tigers during the previous year, and the year before that, and the year before that, and at how many were killed in each of those years by bears, how many by wolves, and how many by snakes. And you can also guess closely at how many people are going to be killed each year for the coming 5 years by each of those agencies. You can also guess closely at how many of each agency the government is going to kill each year for the next 5 years. I have before me statistics covering a period of 6 consecutive years. By these, I know that in India the tiger kills something over 800 persons every year, and that the government responds by killing about double as many tigers every year. In 4 of the 6 years referred to, the tiger got 800 odd. In one of the remaining 2 years he got only 700, but in the other remaining year he made his average good, by scoring 917. He is always sure of his average. Anyone who bets that the tiger will kill 400 people in India in any 3 consecutive years has invested his money in a certainty. Anyone who bets that he will kill 600 in any 3 consecutive years is absolutely sure to lose. As strikingly uniform as are the statistics of suicide, they are not any more so than are those of the tiger's annual output of slaughtered human beings in India. The government's work is quite uniform too. It about doubles the tiger's average. In 6 years the tiger killed 5,000 persons, minus 50. In the same 6 years 10,000 tigers were killed, minus 400. The wolf kills nearly as many people as the tiger, 700 a year to the tiger's 800 odd, but while he is doing it, more than 5,000 of his tribe fall. The leopard kills an average of 230 people per year, but loses 300 of his own mess while he is doing it. The bear kills 100 people per year at a cost of 1,250 of his own tribe. The tiger, as the figures show, makes a very handsome fight against man. But it is nothing to the elephant's fight. The king of beasts, the lord of the jungle, loses 4 of his mess per year, but he kills 45 persons to make up for it. But when it comes to killing cattle, the lord of the jungle is not interested. He kills but 106 years horses of hunters, no doubt, but in the same six the tiger kills more than 84, 000, the leopard 100, 000, the bear 4,000, the wolf 70,000, the hyena more than 13,000, other wild beasts 27, 000, and the snakes 19,000, a grand total of more than 300, 000. An average of 50,000 head per year. In response, the government kills, in the 6 years, a total of 301,232 wild beasts and snakes. 10-4-1. It will be perceived that the snakes are not much interested in cattle. They kill only 300 odd per year. The snakes are much more interested in man. India swarms with deadly snakes. At the head of the list is the cobra, the deadliest known to the world, a snake whose bite kills, where the rattlesnake's bite merely entertains. In India, the annual man killings by snakes are as uniform, as regular, and as forecastable as are the tiger average and the suicide average. Anyone who bets that in India, in any 3 consecutive years the snakes will kill 49,500 persons, will win his bet. And anyone who bets that in India in any 3 consecutive years, the snakes will kill 53,500 persons, will lose his bet. In India the snakes kill 17,000 people a year. They hardly ever fall short of it. They as seldom exceed it. An insurance actuary could take the Indian census tables and the government's snake tables, and tell you within sixpence how much it would be worth to insure a man against death by snake bite there. If I had a dollar for every person killed per year in India, I would rather have it than any other property, as it is the only property in the world not subject to shrinkage. I should like to have a royalty on the government end of the snake business too, and am in London now trying to get it. But when I get it, it is not going to be as regular an income as the other will be if I get that. I have applied for it. The snakes transact their end of the business in a more orderly and systematic way than the government transacts its end of it, because the snakes have had a long experience and know all about the traffic. You can make sure that the government will never kill fewer than 110,000 snakes in a year, and that it will never quite reach 300,000. Too much room for oscillation. Good speculative stock, to bear a bull, and buy and sell long and short, and all that kind of thing, but not eligible for investment like the other. The man that speculates in the government's snake crop wants to go carefully. I would not advise a man to buy a single crop at all. I mean a crop of futures, for the possible wobble is something quite extraordinary. If he can buy 6 future crops in a bunch, sell or to deliver 1,500,000 altogether, that is another matter. I do not know what snakes are worth now, but I know what they would be worth then, for the statistics show that the seller could not come within 427,000 of carrying out his contract. However, I think that a person who speculates in snakes is a fool, anyway. He always regrets it afterwards. To finish the statistics. In 6 years the wild beasts kill 20,000 persons, and the snakes kill 103,000. In the same 6 the government kills 1,073,546 snakes. Plenty left. There are narrow escapes in India. In the very jungle, where I killed 16 tigers and all those elephants, a cobra bit me, but it got well. Everyone was surprised. This could not happen twice in 10 years, perhaps. Usually death would result in 15 minutes. We struck out westward, or northwestward from Calcutta on an itinerary of a zigzag sort, which would in the course of time carry us across India to its northwestern corner and the border of Afghanistan. The first part of the trip carried us through a great region which was an endless garden, miles and miles of the beautiful flower from whose juices comes the opium, and at Muzaffarpur we were in the midst of the indigo culture. fence by a branch road to the Ganges at a point near Dnieper, and by a train which would have missed the connection by a week, but for the thoughtfulness of some British officers who were along, and who knew the ways of trains that are run by natives without white supervision. This train stopped at every village, for no purpose connected with business, apparently. We put out nothing, we took nothing aboard. The train man stepped ashore and gossiped with friends a quarter of an hour, then pulled out and repeated this at the succeeding villages. We had 35 miles to go, and 6 hours to do it in, but it was plain that we were not going to make it. It was then that the English officer said it was now necessary to turn this gravel train into an express. So they gave the engine driver a rupee, and told him to fly. It was a simple remedy. After that we made 90 miles an hour. We crossed the Ganges just at dawn, made our connection, and went to Benner's, where we stayed 24 hours, and inspected that strange and fascinating piety hive again. Then left for Lucknow, a city which is perhaps the most conspicuous of the many monuments of British fortitude and valor that are scattered about the earth. The heat was pitiless, the flat plains were destitute of grass, and baked dry by the sun they were the color of pale dust, which was flying in clouds. But it was much hotter than this, when the relieving forces marched to Lucknow in the time of the mutiny. Those were the days of 138 degree in the shade. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.